right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started. Okay, so how's everybody doing? Good. All right, so it's kind of a nice segue to have John Miller, who was one of the original founders of Marketo, in our previous session, if you guys were able to attend. And now we're thrilled to be joined by Charm Bianchini. She is the Senior Director of Marketing at Marketo, and she's going to spill some of the secret sauce of what they're doing at Marketo to integrate ABM into their overall marketing strategy. So please join me in welcoming Charm.
All right. Hi, everyone. As Carrie said, my name's Charm Bianchini. I'm the Senior Director of Marketing at Marketo, and today I wanted to walk you through the secret sauce to account-based marketing. So some key considerations before we even talk about ABM. There's so much hype about ABM, and so there, I think I counted like 13 or 14 sessions at this conference alone. And so anytime at Marketo that we need to launch a new program, launch a new initiative, we always start with a goal. In fact, if I don't put a goal around certain programs and initiatives, it doesn't get done. And so that's what you guys need to do when thinking about ABM. Start with a goal. Make sure it makes sense for your company, and then work backwards. So most of the time, we're trying to achieve closed won revenue, but figure out what your model looks like and figure out the conversion rate. So what is the closed number, closed won opportunity count that you need to get? How much pipeline does that mean? What's the sales qualified leads or meetings? And then are you still looking at MQLs, or as John Miller said, MQLAs? Actually, at Marketo, we've transitioned to MQLAs. So we're looking at those marketing qualified accounts. And then, of course, on the right, you guys can see the Series Decision B2B funnel for benchmarks. And then you need to pick the right strategy. Sometimes broad reach marketing makes sense. Other times account-based marketing makes sense. In fact, when I first came to Marketo, I was in charge of building up the enterprise demand gen. And so we needed to get our message out there. We needed to generate a lot of interest at the top of the funnel. And so I did that with a lot of broad reach marketing. And I did that for a good year, year and a half. And then I started asking the sales reps, you know, is this working for you? What do you think about marketing? And they said, well, Charm, it sounds like you're doing a good job. But I actually have 40 target accounts that I care about. So you generating leads all over North America doesn't really matter to me. And so that's why I realized once we started hiring all these enterprise sales reps that I needed to move our team to an account-based marketing strategy. And so that's the approach that we're taking today. And then you need to define your revenue model. So the one on the far right is the traditional sales and marketing funnel, where you're bringing in a lot of leads at the top, and you're getting those people to convert down the funnel until they close. But the one on the right is the account-based marketing funnel. That's the flipped funnel, as many people talk about. And so you can see at the top of that funnel, it's more narrow. And you've got to make your company, or at least your sales reps, understand that you're not going to be generating the quantity that they've seen in the past. So it's going to be less quantity but higher quality leads. And you're not just going to get them to purchase. You're actually going to get them to purchase more in terms of cross-sell and upsell and retention. You're going to get them to become advocates. So it's that entire customer life cycle that you'll be nurturing them through. All right, so now let's dive into account-based marketing. Let's pretend that all the stuff that I just kind of went through, those key considerations make sense, and that you guys want to embark on account-based marketing. And so this definition shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, right? Account-based marketing is really focusing exclusively on accounts that matter. And you're doing this with marketing. You're doing it with sales. In fact, we're doing it with the entire company today. And so I'll get into that in a little bit. And why are we doing it? Well, the ROI is very high. I'll show some numbers from Marketo with you guys at the end. But Serious Decisions, you know, big B2B analyst firm, they say that 92% of marketers worldwide consider ABM extremely important or very important. And then our friends at Altera Group, they say 97% of marketers had a somewhat higher or much higher ROI than other marketing initiatives. And then, of course, the one on the right is the stat that I love. So 84% of marketers say that ABM provided significant benefits to retaining and expanding existing client relationships. And that's important because a lot of people talk about ABM and they think of it as an acquisition strategy. But it's really much more than that. You guys should be trying ABM for cross-sell and upsell and retention programs. It actually works really well. And in addition to high ROI, there's sales and marketing alignment. So what better than to bring your entire company together than with ABM? All right, so before we jump into the steps of ABM, I wanted to walk through a couple tips. And tip number one is about collaboration. You have to have collaboration. I've had marketers come up to me and say that they want to start ABM, but no one else in their company wants to do it, and how should they get started? And I usually tell them, don't, right? It's a huge initiative. If you don't have sales on board, if you don't have your boss on board, if you don't have the rest of the company on board at certain times, it's not going to work. You're not going to be successful. It really takes a lot of time and effort. And so what we've done is we've created a real collaborative process at Marketo. And I started, you know, with ABM initiatives and talking to the sales reps. But it just didn't end there. We talked to the sales reps. Then we talked to the directors of sales. Then I talked to the AVPs of sales. I even talked to the general manager of all the groups. And it was interesting because I knew, you know, everyone at Marketo knows about marketing and stuff. But I didn't know, did the general manager really understand what ABM is? Did he understand what his role or sales role in ABM was? I didn't know. So defining all of that and getting buy-in is very important. And then establishing goals and metrics. So my team, the demand gen team, we're great at goals and metrics. As I said before, we always, you know, have goals and metrics for all we do. But the rest of the company, you know, not so much. And so we wanted to establish goals and metrics for everyone that was participating in the program. And then, of course, developing a plan. Again, I think marketing is great at developing plan, but, you know, the rest of the company, maybe not so much again. And so we wanted to make sure that we had a plan, sales had a plan, support had a plan, you know, anyone that was involved, they all had plans that they were trying to achieve. And then frequent communication and meetings. So right now, we report out twice a week. We have a Monday morning meeting where we talk about account-based marketing and we go over how is it working for enterprise. We also do it for small business very effectively. So how is it working for small business? And then on Thursdays, we send a note out to the rest of the team. And that even includes our CEO with how account-based marketing is doing. So two actual report outs per week. This is a fun one, incentives alignment. So last year when we were doing ABM, I had our SDRs allied to our ABM initiatives. In fact, our SDRs were compensated more for creating meetings and opportunities with target accounts. But then I had our sales reps who were supposed to know about ABM kind of running a little bit rogue. And so they would work with their sales reps or their SDRs on target accounts. Then sometimes they would tell my team that they were going to work on these target accounts. And then sometimes they were saying that they were working on their own target accounts, and so it was kind of a little bit chaotic just getting everyone in line. And so this year what we've done is we have aligned our incentives. So now our sales consultants, our sales reps, our SDRs, everyone is being compensated on the target accounts. And those target accounts are listed out, and they're actually being paid a third more than what they would be paid if they closed regular accounts. So it's good. Process prioritization and efficiencies. So that's really just another example of, you know, it's not just all marketing sales. We got sales operations. We've got marketing operations involved. And so they're making sure that we're scoring these people and these accounts properly. They're making sure that the lead routing is all done properly. They're making sure that we have views for AEs and views for SDRs and Salesforce to properly call on all of these target accounts. And then sales enablement and training. I involved them because I didn't want to take everything on ourselves in terms of marketing. And so we asked sales enablement to get involved and help out with training the reps on how to do this target account penetration. And then, of course, reporting and analytics. What does that look like? Again, we worked with our MOPS team because we shifted from MQLs to MQLAs. And so we wanted to make sure that we're really penetrating the right accounts. And so here's an example of sales enablement who maybe you don't think would be involved in account-based marketing, but again, they are. So what we did was we took a look at all of the accounts that we pulled out as target accounts, and this is for enterprise, which I'm responsible for. And we saw that a majority of the accounts fell into three verticals. And so for those three verticals, we asked sales enablement to get involved. Can you do trainings on these verticals? Can you make sure that everyone has the right messaging? Can you create call scripts as well as emails that AEs and SDRs can send out? And then, of course, the special Salesforce views. So they were more than happy to help. Success tip number two is pick the right technology. You know, there's so much technology out there. It can be overwhelming, but you need to make sure that you have a platform where that can easily integrate into your marketing technology stack. And so you want to make sure that you're able to target the right accounts. You're able to engage them through multiple channels and then measure and report at the end of the day. And tip number three is cleanse your data. So John Miller was just talking about this a little bit before. We took our account-based marketing initiative and made sure that sales operations and everyone knew that this was going to be a time to clean our Salesforce CRM system. You can't, I'm sure you guys go through this, right? Whenever we talk to sales and you ask them questions about are you doing this or doing that, there's always some sort of excuse as to, you know, oh, the data's dirty. I can't tell you how many times I have heard that. And so it's awesome that we were able to really go through a process, use an outside vendor, match leads to accounts, verify titles. So in the past at Marketo, we used to have a drop-down that was pretty generic. And so it would be, you know, manager/director. And so I couldn't tell, is that manager actually like a mid-management person or are they more a practitioner? And so when I'm trying to do personalized outreach for ABM, if I can't tell if someone is a manager or really a director level, that's hard. And we also had some blank titles. So we went through an exercise of reaching out to people, having them verify their titles, having a third party append some information if it was missing. And then especially for enterprise, again, is mapping the parent and child accounts. So we had, you know, a bunch of accounts in Salesforce, but the hierarchies were missing. And so we used a third party to go in and purchase all of that data and load it back into Salesforce with all of those hierarchies. So now, for example, if I want to reach out to GE, I can actually see, oh, there's, let's say, 50 divisions of GE. Half of them are customers of ours. Half of them aren't. Out of those prospects, which one should we go after? Which ones has our sweet spot, et cetera? So it's important, and I would say, you know, if you guys want to get started on ABM, start here and really make sure that you have the right data before you embark. All right, so now let's go through the five steps to ABM. The first one is identifying the right accounts. The second one is profiling accounts. Third, we're going to talk about creating content, and then launching campaigns and measurement and analysis. All right, so step one, identifying accounts. This is really important. As you guys are probably marketers in the room, you know that, you know, if you have crappy names that you are sending in a direct mail or you aren't taking the time to really segment an email campaign, you're not going to get good response rates. You're not going to get good engagement. You're probably going to get a lot of people that unsubscribe as well. So the more time you can spend on picking the right accounts, the better. And so we really partner with sales on this, right? We ask them a couple questions. We ask them, do you want it to be a high-yield account? That's pretty obvious, right? The higher the ARR, the better the ASP. So of course we would want that. But a good one also is product fit. You know, don't just sell your product into a industry that probably isn't a good fit and that they're going to churn after a year. We spend so much money in acquiring, you know, customers, and that cost per opportunity is high, that I want to make sure that once I am spending my money to acquire that customer, that we're actually keeping those customers and that they can actually flourish on our product. Another good one is competitors' customers. Maybe you found out that you have a competitor that's no longer innovating, and then that you want to go after their customers. Or maybe there's something of strategic importance. So that's a new market or new industry that you want to get into. And leverage technology whenever you can to help. As I said, it's the only way that you're going to be able to scale your efforts. And you can see here, this is the MarTech staff stack. In 2011, there were about 150 marketing vendors. In 2016, there's over 3,800. So the space has expanded significantly. In fact, it can be overwhelming, right? It's all of us trying to say that we have an ABM solution. So just do your due diligence. You know, make sure you have your requirements. Make sure you evaluate. And again, if you have a platform that can help you guys, you know, do all these different things for ABM, the better. And so here's some of the technologies used. I noticed that account selection should be over there on the blank space, but it got messed up in the template. But so we use tools like InsideView and Lean Data and ReachForce for account selection. For some of our niche solutions, we're using LeadSpace for account scoring and profiling. And then Ghostery and DataNize for what are those technologies in real time being used by the companies that we're going after. And then, of course, multi-channel programs like LinkedIn and Vidyard and PFL. They all have great solutions. And then at the end, as I said, you know, at the bottom, you can see that across the board is Marketo ABM solution running. So here's our account selection process. It's pretty simple. We have three tiers of accounts. We have the top 20, the tier one, the tier two. So remember how I said we even have our AVPs involved? Well, we have four AVPs of sales. We asked all four of them to pick five accounts. And so they've picked five accounts that they want to penetrate for the year, so we've locked those in for a year. For the tier ones and the tier twos, we have engaged with our AEs. And so we have 40 AEs on the enterprise side in North America. And for tier one, we ask them to pick 10 accounts each. And then for tier two, we ask them to pick 30 accounts each. And so really what this is doing is, you know, locking these accounts in for 6 months, because it takes us so long to start running programs and seeing ROI that I can't have any accounts being swapped out, you know, on a monthly or quarterly basis. So we lock them in for 6 months, and it's a combination of really using our predictive account score as well as the rep knowledge. And so here's just a screenshot of what those different tiers mean. And this is really for sales, right? Because I want sales to be thoughtful when they're picking their target accounts. I want them to know, what does a top 20 mean? What does a tier one mean? What does a tier two mean? And so we send them this little spreadsheet so they can get a good understanding of what resources, what budget, what kind of time commitment we'll have per the different tiers. So if we look at the first one, right, for example, website personalization, web personalization for individual accounts, that's actually a lot. That means for the top 20 accounts, we are going to personalize their experience. We're going to create an entire journey on our website. We're actually probably even going to call out their names on certain you know, banners on our website when they visit. So we're not going to do that for everyone. We just can't. But for tier one and tier two, we love web personalization, and so we're going to continue to do it, but we're going to look at certain attributes. We're really going to look at, maybe do they have a CRM system? Maybe that's all in common, right? Do they have a certain industry? Are they a certain segment? And so if they are, we'll create web personalization based on that and have that for the tier ones and the tier twos. Another example is sales outreach, right? It kind of tells them they need to be helping us call on the top 20 and the tier ones, but depending on what the calling campaign is, maybe not the tier twos. All right, so step two is profiling accounts. So once you have selected your accounts, then you need to make sure that you have a plan on how to focus on the right part of the organization. My GE example, where there's so many different divisions, you know, is appropriate in the sense that you need to make sure that you know the business initiatives, personnel developments. We look for, has a new CMO been hired? Has a new CMO been fired? You know, what are some of the technologies that you're using? What are the org structure? So there's companies out there like InsideView, RainKing, SalesQuest. You know, a lot of these great account profiling tools should be used at this time. And then step three is creating content. So creating content is, you know, no surprise to anyone. It needs to be relevant. You need to be delivering it at the right time and making it very personal. And so we partner with our segment marketing team to develop the buyer personas. So they're in charge of identifying who are the people that we're selling to, who's the exec sponsor on the deal, what keeps that person up at night, where do they go for information? And then we look at the other decision makers within the deal. You know, what kind of trade shows do they go to? What channels can they be found on? And then, of course, the influencers and end users are also important. And then be creative. We have a content committee team at Marketo, and the way it works is every quarter we submit all of our content requests, and then they review them and pick certain things to work on. And it's kind of funny. At the top of the request form, it says, it doesn't always have to be an ebook in caps, because all of my program managers, they've gotten better, but a lot of my program managers always thought that everything they needed was an ebook, right? And it's so not true. In fact, infographics, slideshare presentations, personalized videos, those do really well and actually perform better than ebooks. So make sure you know your audience and you figure out what assets actually work well. And then here's an example of mapping content to the buying stage. So higher education is a key vertical of ours. And you can see I've mapped out the different buying stages from awareness, interest, evaluation, and commitment. And so in the awareness stage, we're going to partner with Frost and Sullivan, who does a lot of great industry reports. And we're going to create a very high-level piece on empowering higher education relationships. Once those people start to move down to the different stages of the buying stage, then when they're in the interest stage, we send them an ebook on how higher education can improve with marketing automation. Then once they start evaluating our product, we can give them a demo or we can give them a case study. And then once they've committed, we start talking to them about the marketing nation, the community they have, advocacy programs, et cetera. Next is thinking multi-channel. I have a lot of marketers that tell me, you know, they're doing marketing campaigns, but they aren't working, and, you know, they've done these channels in the past, and they don't understand what's going on now. Well, I always ask them, you know, what have you done some research? Are the people that you're going after now actually on these channels? So it's so important to understand and really survey people and talk to them and find out where they're going. And then take a multi-channel approach. It's the only way to get your voice heard. So you can see all these different channels, and I'm not recommending that you use all of them at once. That would be overwhelming probably for program managers. But we have a few that we keep running and ongoing at the top. And then with these, we pick about three or four, and we'll work on three or four for a few months, and then we'll switch to another three or four, another three or four. So hopefully over time, wherever that buyer's popping up in terms of the channel, they're going to get a story. They're going to get a communication and hopefully know, you know, oh, if I'm ready to look for marketing automation, Marketo has an enterprise class solution. And really, you know, people talk about ABM and a key to success being sales and marketing alignment, which is true, but you also need to personalize. And so a recent study shows that 89% of marketers report improved business from personalization. And we've seen it really work. In fact, when we have personalized call to actions, we see a higher conversion rate than generic ones, 42% higher. And then leads who are nurtured with personalized content produce a 20% increase in sales opportunities. So it really does work and should be tried. And where to personalize? You can personalize everywhere, but here's some of the main channels: website, video, social, email, mobile. And then various segments, right? You can personalize based on enterprise versus small business, technologies. I like to personalize a lot for the sales stage. You know, are they in the early sales stage? Or are they maybe in an early sales stage, but they're stuck there? Maybe they've been there for 90 days and there's been no movement. So maybe do a campaign for those people. And then, of course, behavior and engagement. So here's an example of a target account email. This is nothing special. It just is an email that actually worked because we worked with the rep to understand what are the unique challenges of that account. So it brings in, you know, we want to advance its marketing. We want to scale the subscription program. And then we bring in Marketo's ability to address those challenges and also relevant case studies. And so the results, though, speak for themselves. They're quite good. So we got a 45% open rate from sending out this email. The meeting was set with the VP, and the VP actually brought some of the key members of her team into the meeting. And then more importantly, an opportunity was created and actually still in the pipeline. And then here's an example of a Marketo landing page. And so we like to use personalization on landing pages. I actually love it. It's pretty cool. It's so easy to do and gives you such a nice lift. So every time we have a definitive guide come out, we do a little personalization on the landing pages. So you can see the default over there is if we can't tell what kind of company it is, they get the default one. But then we did two personalizations. We did for an enterprise segment, and then we also did for verticals. And we just changed the words a little bit, and this is the enterprise one. Change the words a little bit and add some enterprise logos that are actually using us for personalization and put it there. And you can see, so for the default page, 42% of the people that landed on the default page, they gave us their name and they got the asset. But if the people went instead to the enterprise page, 59% registered and gave their name. And then more importantly is verticals. 71% of the people who went to a vertical landing page gave us their name and registered. So anytime you guys can use a vertical approach, I would strongly encourage you to do so. We've seen fantastic results. Another example is a webinar series. And so at first glance, we might think, oh gosh, this doesn't look too good. In fact, at Marketo, we can bring in a lot bigger numbers than this. But this was for asset management, one of the sub-industries that we're going after in our financial services market. So it was very, very targeted. And we got 11 attendees, 9 attendees, 21 attendees. But you can see from those small attendees, they were the right people. We gave them the right content, and they actually converted into ops. And so from this little webinar series, we now have over $1 million in the sales pipeline. All right, so last is program measurement, and it's really important to know what to measure when, especially with ABM. And so some of the things that you can look at early on are a lift in website traffic. So get a baseline, right? Make sure you understand before you started your initiative, what were the numbers? Did target accounts come to your website? And then once you start doing a target account programs, what's that extra lift? Have you been able to see an increase? New names. So as I said, we have all these new target accounts. I like to give each sales rep 10 names per account that are actually good, legitimate names in the right functions. And so I want to make sure that I'm always making sure to build that white space out. In the mid, we look at things with SDR. So how many call connects? How many meetings were set with target accounts? How many meetings were director and above with target accounts? And then in the late stage, we look at the number of opportunities in target accounts. We start looking at the pipeline of target accounts. And we don't really get hung up these days. It used to be an issue, but these days we don't look at what did marketing source, what did the partner team source, what did the sales team source. Because we're all aligned around target accounts, we all have one goal, and we're not fighting over who sourced it and attribution. And so it's really important, right, to have all of your ABM analytics and reports in one place, especially when you're using all these different tools. A lot of them can report on things differently. So just make sure that you're consistent and have the same metrics and goals that have been communicated to everyone. And then here's a high-level view of what we look at. So I can see this dashboard, and it shows for all of the accounts. You can see there's about 500 accounts in the ABM program. They have 48 opportunities that are open and 2.5 million in the pipeline for right now. And then we can drop down into an account view. So this is for one account. I can see their account score. I can see what the pipeline is for that account. I can see some of the top people to call within that account and interesting moments. And then here's some results. So this is Salesforce dashboard, where we're just looking at what are the default accounts, those are the ones with the little check, versus the different tiers of target accounts. And so you can see we are actually showing a 35% increase in ASP We're actually having shorter deal cycles because these are the accounts that actually are good for Marketo. And then over on the right, it's just showing that 4% of the accounts in enterprise that we can pick from in Salesforce are driving over 30% of the pipeline. So it's actually working for us, and that's why this year we've decided to double down on our account-based marketing efforts. And then just to close, some key takeaways, right, from the beginning is really determine if ABM works for you. It's a big initiative. Ours is company-wide, and so make sure that's a strategy that you want to use. Spend time up front to get started correctly, right? Try to see if you can use this as an opportunity to cleanse your data, to set up a collaborative process, et cetera. Coordinate your multi-strategy and personalize wherever you can. And then at the end of the day, always be testing and measuring and improving. And so with that, I want to thank you. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out to me.
Great.